The Money Show
with Bruce Whitfield on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
HSBC in Truworths update today, they're saying about half of their strike-hit stores are open once again for trade. And it is astonishing to me, and I'm sure astonishing to you, just the level of resilience. I'm sure there are going to be companies that will cut back on exposures. Companies will say, you know what, that shopping centre is a little bit exposed. That part of town is a little bit exposed. This could happen again. Let's not risk it. But by and large, we're going to see a restoration of corporate South Africa's footprints across the country. It's the little guys that worry me. It's the little guys that have shut down that simply won't have the means or just the energy to restart because the riots were as devastating as they are. What we are seeing in the banking sector is a big re-rating of shares in that particular sector, with results coming out much better than expected. And certainly companies are doing a lot better than the worst case scenarios imagined a year ago. Absa's profits are better now than they were in 2019. Acting Absa Chief Executive, or the Interim Group Chief Executive, Jason Quinn, with us on The Money Show this evening. When it looks to rebuilding, Jason, I mean, you would have had hundreds of ATMs destroyed, many branches badly damaged and destroyed. How is your rebuild going?
Good evening, Bruce. Great to be with you and your listeners tonight. Look, July was unprecedented for our economy, unprecedented for South Africa, in fact. Yeah, we were damaged, many branches damaged in KZN, some in Gauteng. We lost a lot of ATMs. Our clients lost a lot of point-of-sale devices. But we've been very engaged with our clients, working with them to provide bridging into their sort of next opportunities to rebuild. Of course, we all hope much of this is covered by Satria, in which case it's basically a bridge to, let's call it a sovereign payout. So much on the go, and, you could see, July impacted across the economy. In fact, today we spoke about some high frequency data that looked a little bit worse than what we would have hoped for in July.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Jason? High frequency data.
So, for instance, Bruce, we run a fairly large card acquiring operation. So, literally, those point of sale devices that you all swipe your cards at every day. July is usually quite an active month for purchasing. If you go back over many years, you'll see July has a bit of a spark in it. So we didn't see that in July. In fact, we saw July come off relative to June and a fair bit below our expectations. Well, we saw some behavior patterns change. You didn't see smaller frequent purchases like you might expect. You saw some larger purchases coming through, probably people stockpiling and things like that. So some very unusual behavior in July. But certainly the riot did impact that type of volume, and they certainly did impact confidence, we think.
Well, certainly we've seen the business confidence numbers come out already, and they're devastating. And I'm sure if you looked at it region by region, you would see very, very serious damage done. The big question, I suppose, Jason, is just how much reinvestment we see in our economies and just how much we've been set back in the drive to try to create jobs and opportunities for people into the future.
Yeah, Bruce, we flagged that as a risk to our outlook for the economy, in particular in the third quarter. This July could knock 0.5% off that. I'd also say to you that, you're absolutely right. Many smaller clients, larger clients as well, have much of their wealth tied up in working capital. And for that to be destroyed, you need to kind of recreate that working capital or cash flow cycle. So the quicker we can get the Satria process underway and get cash back into business people's hands to reestablish their cycle, the better. Of course, as a bank, we had a substantial relief program for customers during COVID last year, and we've reinvigorated much of that effort with customers that that we trust and that are longstanding with us.
Are you seeing a good uptake in that? I mean, because as much as people are battered and bruised, those who do want to get up and fight again are going to need support. I mean, are you seeing good uptake?
Bruce, it's too early to say, in terms of real data. I think a lot of business people that we talk to on the ground, they want a lot of assurance still from the government that to the extent that they have the confidence to rebuild, that they won't have the same, impact on them again. So they're really looking to the government for certainty around, police and defence and things like that to ensure that the same thing doesn't happen again. Because I think the risk is still there.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's, you know, for many people, the fact that it took so long to occur on a large scale, some sort of really big agitation, unlimited agitation as well, because the state just didn't step in for 5 days. And that, Sasria was not built to withstand that. Nothing was built to withstand that. From your perspective, do you think government is being vocal enough in its support of businesses into the future? Certainly, one gets a sense that government's pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah, Bruce, difficult for me to comment on that. You know, what I'd observe, I think I'd agree that perhaps a fairly slow response at the beginning of that crisis, but much engagement underway right now between business, government, civil society, all sorts of groups are involved trying to lend a hand to rebuild, as you say. So those conversations, I think, are very active at the moment, and I think everyone's minded to do their part to restore confidence.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? When you look at the environment in which you're operating, you're in a better position today, though, as a group, than you were in 2019. 2019 wasn't great. 2020 was awful. But you're back better than 2019 now.
Yeah, Bruce. I mean, we when we guided for this year, we, of course, expected some level of rebound. It's actually turned out to be better than that for us. You know, so a couple of reasons. Of course, the main one would be bad debt. You know, this time last year, we put aside a substantial general provision for macroeconomic uncertainties, you know, 5.5 billion rand. And we also saw delinquencies deteriorate in that first half last year. First half this year, we actually saw our customers' delinquencies improve or turn out better than we expected. So the numbers you see today from us, we actually didn't touch that big general provision. We actually left that fully intact. So that's still there to protect us from any future risks. But the key message is underlying delinquencies were better. You know, Bruce, I think our revenues were probably also a little bit more resilient than people might have thought. And as ABSA, we've done a tremendous amount of our cost base over the last few years. So all of these things helped. You know, pre-provision profits, which is obviously the metric without bad debts in it, was up. And we think that was a very good performance in the current environment.
I was chatting to Mike Brown at Nedbank last week, and certainly consumers seem to have recovered a lot better than companies have. Companies are still very reluctant to borrow, very reluctant to commit to growth, whereas consumers seem a lot more confident.
Yeah, Bruce, that's exactly right. You know, I'll give you some numbers. You know, our overall loan growth was up 2%. Look, we are very pleased. Deposit growth was up 10%. You know, that shows you that there's a lot of liquidity in our system across the board. If you look at where that loan growth was, yeah, it was obviously lower in corporate and investment banking. And then in retail, in particular, asset classes that I think ABSA did well in are mortgages and in vehicle and asset finance. We had a very strong half in mortgages. I think registrations of new mortgages almost doubled half on half. So a very buyer's market there. A lot of first-time home buyers, a lot of people renovating their houses because they've been kind of working in them for a while now. And then the vehicle and asset finance side, you saw us... I think we took about 29% share of new business written in the half. You know, so that's a very deliberate strategy that we've been working on and executing on for a couple of years now. And it's just been well-timed, I think.
That's the advantage of low interest rates. I recall one of your distant predecessors, Steve Boyson, at a banking evening, begging Tito Mboweni, who at the time was the Reserve Bank governor, please to cut interest rates. And Tito, in typical Tito style in those days, just beat him down and went, no, you're not going to get it. But low interest rates help. I mean, they do help consumer confidence, or at least consumer appetite for spending.
Well, there's no doubt, Bruce. You know, if you think about it, we're sort of at a half a century record lows. You know, I think repo at 350. So we expect that to stay the same this year. So we don't think rates go up this year. We think they might start going up next year. And as you say, that provides a lot of support to consumers. If you think about most houses, the biggest cash outflow every month is your mortgage installments. And that's obviously come down a tremendous amount. And that's probably also, Bruce, why we see deposits go up so much. So I mentioned there's a lot of liquidity in the system. There's no doubt that also the payment relief and things like that we offered customers last year also put liquidity into the system. And much of that is still on deposit with us. So our deposits actually went above our loans in absolute value this half, over R1 trillion, you know. So that shows you the extent, I think, of our customer franchise health as well. ABSA is a strong brand, and I think with all of the innovation we've done on products and the like, we're attracting a better than fair share on deposits as well.
Jason Quinn, thank you. He is the Interim Group Chief Executive at APSA.